From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Tuesday, December 12th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gunachi. Shawa Salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, Mudrooms is happening tonight. The magical storytelling adventure continues with seven new stories, all on the theme, changing your mind. We'll have a preview. The Lions Club is partnering with Coastal Helicopters for a fundraiser via their light flights happening this Friday. And we'll talk with some parent teachers from the Juno Community Charter School. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha ani kak, gunish cheesh.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Before we get started, a couple announcements. KTOO turns 50 this January, and we're marking this milestone by celebrating you, the community that has supported locally owned airwaves in Juno for five decades. As part of our celebration, we'd love to hear how KTOO impacts you. We're looking for audio submissions that are up to 90 seconds in length that share your thoughts, memories, driveway moments, and personal stories about the station that we can use on the air. To submit, record your message on your smartphone and email it to junoafternoon@ktoo.org. Instructions for getting good audio can be found on our homepage at kto.org. You'll see a banner in the upper right. We look forward to hearing from you. Gunath Cheesh. And programming note, Juno Afternoon will take a break from live shows from December 25th through January 15th. Live shows will return on Tuesday, January 16th. However, over the break, you can tune in for the 2023 Juno Afternoon Year in Review episodes as we look back on 2023 and highlight some of the interviews and events that we covered on the show. Gunath Cheesh for your continued support of the show, and we look forward to sharing further with you in conversation in 2024. Mudrooms, the ongoing monthly storytelling event where seven folks share real stories, is happening tonight at 7 p.m. And 100% of the profits are donated to local nonprofits. And there's a new one that we'll be talking about today, the Juno Montessori School. Tonight's theme is changing your mind. And here to get us warmed up for tonight are board member Kristen Rankin and Derek Grimes from the Juno Montessori School. Gunath Chishat Ye Yadi. How are you all? Thanks for coming and being here. Wasayati. What's up?
Hello, hello. Great to be here. Gunath Cheesh.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great. So, Kristen, let's remind the folks. A lot of folks in Juno know about mudrooms, but there might be some who don't or people have just moved to town. What is mudrooms?
Indeed. And you already gave a great initial starter. So we are a routinely occurring community event where community members get together to tell and listen to stories. So we have each month seven storytellers tell stories that are true and personal to them. So they are from their lives. They tell it on our stage to a crowd, and it's around a different theme each month. And as you mentioned, our model raises money for different community nonprofits throughout Juno. So this season we have three different beneficiaries, and December and January we'll be supporting the Juno Montessori School.
All right. So let's get the details of it just so we have it. So where is it? And I know we mentioned it's at 7 o'clock, but where is it? And when should people show up? And how much does it cost?
Indeed. It is at the Kuneihidi Northern United Church in the Flats. It is at 7 p.m. tonight. Come a little bit early. Music starts at 6:45, and it is $7 cash at the door.
Yeah, no, that's great. It goes right to the charity, and it's, you know, there's no, nobody's making any money on this. Everybody's volunteering. And it's really interesting because Mudrooms, it's not a theatrical performance. It's really just your fellow community members sharing stories based around a theme. And it's really cool. And all this money goes for charity. And usually there's like coffee and some other little things there as well, right?
Yeah, I think one of the things I love most about Mudrooms is just how much of a community affair it really is. Because, yes, we have cookies from the Rookery, coffee from Copa. We have musicians volunteering their time. We have community members volunteering their time. And I think when we all get together in that space, we get to exchange the most universal human experiences, right? Those, someone might tell a story in the event itself that they're telling, that might not have happened to you, but that feeling that they had in that moment, something that changed them, that resonates. And you can feel it. You can feel it in the crowd when someone is telling a story. And everybody comes with different styles, different approaches to telling their stories, but you can feel it when we connect and resonate with just human experiences and feelings, and it's a really wonderful thing.
And what's great is that you also help folks. So if people are interested in being a storyteller, but they don't really know how to get started, there's coaching and people who can help you. There's storytelling workshops that you've done recently that also help people sort of outline and figure out how to do that, which is really, really cool.
Absolutely. If you have been thinking about it, and maybe it sounds great, but you haven't made that step, it's reasonable, and reach out to us. We're at mudrooms.org. And as you said, we've got a great lineup of coaches, and we will be doing one more workshop in the spring, well, winter, spring. I don't know when yet, but one more workshop for this season. And we'd love to help you take that next step and share a story.
And who's the musician tonight?
It is Quentin Woolman Morgan.
Oh, I love Quentin.
Yeah. He came highly recommended from a friend. So we're really excited.
He's been on the show before. He's like a forest. He works out and does stuff out there. He's like a forest person.
Sure.
And then he makes music and he plays that guitar and it's just great. It's warm and lovely.
Well, yeah. We're so excited to have him. We're also excited. We have a special guest host tonight.
Oh.
Former, storyboard member, Representative Sarah Hannon. She's coming back on the stage. She was a board member with us for a few years, and she's coming back on the stage to host tonight's event.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we're excited to have her.
And the other thing I love about Mudrooms, and this is just to let those folks who may have not gone or are maybe interested in doing it, is that most of the time, or usually, no notes, which is great,
right?
Because you're creating this story, you're practicing the story, and then you get up and you tell the story, and wild things can happen when you do that, right? So that's really kind of fun, but it shouldn't be too scary, even though I think it might still be true. But I remember this, a statistic that said that the number one fear is speaking in public above death.
And we like to lean right into that and invite you onto the stage.
No, but
we're really all about that.
But what's great is you're facing that fear. Like if you're a little, you know, hesitant about it, or you're not sure, you just got to give it a shot, because there's something really cool in the endorphins and the energy that, and the audience is forgiving and welcoming and warm, and they're really there to support you. And you can find your your voice in that sometimes in terms of what you're doing on that stage, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. It feels fantastic afterwards. You definitely have nerves beforehand. Absolutely. But as you said, the Juno audience is so welcoming and so completely on your side and just there for the stories. We support each other. We just want to connect with each other. That's another thing I've heard a couple times this season, is that we have people who are new to Juno who haven't really been to a lot of community events, and they come to Mudrooms and then they get to know Junoites and they get to chat with people during intermission. They get to connect and feel connected. And
that's
so we love
cool.
that.
Yeah, that's so great. I mean, it's really great because there's people moving here all the time.
Indeed.
And it's interesting, too. I want to ask you this, and then we'll talk a little bit about the beneficiary for the next couple months. Is the theme tonight is changing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting about that is the way that you all worded that. The board, I know, chooses the topics and stuff, but changing your mind as opposed to changing my mind.
Uh-huh.
So it's really curious to see like what people might come up with in terms of that. Are people going to be trying to change their own mind? Are they going to be trying to change the mind of the audience? Or is it, you know, what is the mind? What is that?
We could get really epistemological in this and just really dive in deep.
Yeah, it's like you can get I had an existential crisis the other night, so it could be, you know, you never know what happens,
absolutely.
Right?
We'll share that on our stage.
And I know that, so that's the topic tonight. And there's, it goes through March this year, is that right?
It does. Yeah. May I share our remaining themes? And we are still recruiting for all of these months. January is the theme is what the hell am I doing? March is,
you could change that one to what the hell are you doing? Like that would be really interesting.
Yes, absolutely. And storytellers are encouraged to reflect on that.
Yeah.
February is stepping in it.
Okay.
And March is stars aligned.
Okay.
There's a whole journey just in those three, right?
That's right. That's right. And we won't have you all on for January because we won't be on the air at that time. So this is your reminder too that the event will be they're usually the second Tuesdays, right?
Yes. These remaining are the second Tuesday of the month. So January 9th. February 13th. And I love that. I love that our theme right by Valentine's Day is stepping in it. I think we're going to get some great stories.
That would be awesome.
Bring a date.
Yeah.
And March is March 12th. So all second Tuesday of the month, Kanehidi, Northern United Light United Church, 7 p.m.
Yeah, you don't even need to make a reservation.
Nope.
You just got to show up with $7 cash.
Absolutely.
And enjoy yourself some storytelling, which is really great.
Indeed.
And the other thing I wanted to mention was that in looking at your website, I noticed that there is something, and I don't know if this is new or not, but the Storyteller Index, which links to all the individual stories that people have told. Somebody did a lot of work to make that happen. That's amazing.
That would be Mr. Rich Moniak. He has done so much work. And since we are now in our 12th season, it really has created this beautiful catalog of Junoites. We have had so many different people tell stories, and it's all archived. So it's not just their names, but we also have their story linked and uploaded on our website. So we've got this wonderful record of, you know, 10 years ago, what were the stories that people in Juno were telling? And we really love that. And our website, we're helped out by Alaska Robotics. They help host our website. So again, all these different community connections.
That's so cool. And you can find everything at mudrooms.org, of course, for different topics, how to sign up, the Storyteller Index. You can listen to some people, maybe get inspired, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so Derek Grimes is here from the Juno Montessori School, and you are going to be the beneficiary of the next couple of months' proceeds from Mudrooms. How did you all get involved? Have you done a story before? And what's going on with the Juno Montessori School?
No, I've got to say, I'm a little embarrassed to say this will be my first time coming to mudrooms.
That's okay.
Period. So I'm really looking
everybody
forward to
everybody has to have a first time.
Yep, indeed. Exactly, right? So I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all plays out and the different stories tonight that we get to hear. It's just super exciting. I would say we reached out to mudrooms via our executive director and the petition process and application and all the normal standard stuff, but we're really excited to get picked. It's kind of the perfect couple of months for anybody who's been a parent. You know, what the hell am I thinking and changing my mind? And there's a whole load of stories right in there, right for our entire community. So this was a really exciting couple of months to get, and we're really excited to have our community members participating tonight as volunteers, as well as being storytellers in January's set. So yeah, we think it's the best thing that could possibly be happening right now, and what better to do on a rainy Tuesday night? So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. That's really great. And tell us a little bit just about the Juno Montessori School.
Sure. So we're located over on Sandy Beach right there, the nice kind of white steepled building right as you come onto the property. We've been there since 1985. Basically supplying a Montessori education option for Juno. And Montessori education, for anybody who doesn't know, that it's a lot of kid empowerment. The idea would be that your child is capable of doing many things, and in fact, they get the most satisfaction out of doing them themselves. So our role as educators or as parents really is to help guide them through the experience, but to let them do as much as they possibly can. So it's a real help me help myself kind of jive to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, I've got a 3.5-year-old who's been in the program since she was 16 months old. It's crazy the amount of things that she can do and things that I didn't even expect her to pick up wanting to do. You know, I mean, just the normal habits and chores and helping around, but also just really wanting to be like a little person and wanting to just go and do the things. We're bringing her tonight, and we expect her to probably be there during the ticket taking and everything right alongside of us, and hopefully sit in for the entire show as well. 3.5, you know, it's a long show, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's so cool. I know that, and you know, it's funny, I always used to use Montessori as an explainer because my daughter went through the Waldorf program and a lot of people are like, what's Waldorf? And I'll be like, have you heard of Montessori? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, it's like that, but totally different. Because it is. It's just totally different. But there are these, you know, wonderful sort of early education. And actually, you can go even further. I know that there's some places, some cities and stuff have high schools that continue on the education. But it's really great for young folks to be able to have options in terms of their schooling and the kind of philosophies behind that. So that's really cool. And how do we find out more about Juno Montessori?
You can Google Juno Montessori or junomontessori.com, I believe, is our website. Mm-hmm. I should probably know that as a board member a little more definitely, but it's in there.
Google is your friend.
Google is the best resource I can find. Otherwise, you can drop in. You can talk to us tonight at the event. Honestly, we host a couple other community events throughout the year, just as, you know, keeping in touch and fundraising and all that fun stuff. And any of those are a great time to approach us if you know a kid, have a kid, or expecting to have a kid in the program, anything like that. Oh, thanks for saving me. JunoMontessoriSchool.org.
There we go. JunoMontessoriSchool.org. Well, it is Mudrooms. It's happening tonight in just a few hours at 7 o'clock. And you want to get yourself over there to the church. And it's $7 and there's 7 stories. Do we want to mention anybody who's telling stories tonight? Do we know the list?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
So we are really excited to have tonight the following community members. Ellen Winters, Pam Garcia, Jim Hammond, David Parrish, Kaylee McGooey, Terry Stage Harvey, and Ames Villanueva.
Nice. What a great group of folks.
Yeah, a great group.
Yeah.
And I have heard most of their stories, and they are fantastic. So, yes, please come out tonight. Join us at 7 p.m. We're really, really looking forward to these stories.
That's so cool. Yeah. And if you can't catch it tonight live, of course, there's the Storyteller Index, which they'll get on there eventually on their website. But also, just to mention this, that usually Rich puts together a little audio hour and it plays on KTOO, I think like the last Monday of the month. So I don't know what's going on with this month because it's December and it's the holidays. But usually you can find those in the schedule at kto.org.
I know this one, actually.
Oh, you do?
We are doing a little earlier this
year. Okay, great.
Because
of the holidays.
It's December.
Yeah.
And it will be on KTOO on the 18th at 7 p.m.
Oh, wow. So next Monday. Next Monday.
Yeah, we're turning it around.
Wow, that's quick. So if you can't make it out tonight, you can listen to KTOO, but it's way better to go there live. Cookies, get some coffee, and enjoy these stories. It's mudrooms.org. Gunthjish, for being here today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Up next, what's a better way to see all the holiday lights than from a helicopter? And you'll be raising money for charity at the same time. We'll chat light flights next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the Geminid meteor shower. This December 12th is new moon, and December 13th and 14th is the peak of the Geminid meteor shower, which, since it's close to new moon, will be quite visible if it is clear. And this is the best meteor shower of the year. It can have up to 120 meteors per hour. It's called the Geminid shower because it appears to originate from that constellation, Gemini, which is rising in the southeast when it gets dark. So looking from there towards the point directly overhead, the zenith is where you're going to see these meteors. Now, meteor showers originate from comets that have broken apart and shed debris. And this debris, when it's in space, is called a meteoroid. When it intersects the Earth's atmosphere, it's a meteor. When it burns up, we also talk of it as being a shooting star. The rare pieces of a meteor shower, which mostly the size of grains of sand that reaches the Earth's surface without burning up, is called a meteorite. Now, you don't need any optical aid to see a meteor shower. The main ingredient is being close to a new moon, which this shower is, and also having a clear night, which is always uncertain in Juno. But even when it's cloudy, occasionally there'll be openings in the clouds. And I've seen that more than once, where I was waiting for an event here in the Juno and the clouds did open. So there's always hope. Hope is always good to save for events like this, the Geminid meteor shower. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Friday, you can take flight and get a special view of all the holiday light action from the air. It's all part of the Lions Club and Coastal Helicopters partnership to help raise funds for the Lions Club and Cancer Connection. Sounds like an awesome time, and registration is open now. Here to share about it with us are Hari Dave Singh Khalsa, the Lions Club president, and Crystal Johnson, the Lions Club membership director. Gunathjish Hatye Adi, how are you all?
Gunathjish, for having us.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is really cool, something I hadn't heard of before, but something you all have been doing before, right?
Long time. Yeah. Decades.
It's decades.
Been going on for decades.
Wow, this is amazing. So describe what this is.
Well, people take a quick flight in a helicopter up the valley, around the valley, and then back to the airport. And people love it. Kids love it. People have been doing it for generations. So sometimes you have three generations on one helicopter, and they all come back with their eyes wide.
Wow.
And they look like they've just been charged with static electricity, and they're just thrilled.
And how much do you get to see from the air? I guess I would assume a lot.
Well, sometimes you see a lot. You see a lot of lights, you know. But it is dark out.
Yeah.
It is dark out, so you're going to see the mountains, but, you know, the pilots are on radar, you know, and they're not going to go too close to the mountains. But, yeah, you can see all the lights in the valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's the thrill. It's like getting on a giant roller coaster.
I mean, some people have – I know I have. I've never been in a helicopter. So that idea right there is pretty cool. And then to do it in the dark, a little bit scary, but – you're protected. You've got a pilot with you, right? You're not flying the helicopter yourself, nope. Thank goodness.
Right, right.
And then the benefit of doing it this time of year is that when you look out, you look down, you might get to see a bunch of different neighborhoods and all lit up.
Right? Oh, you definitely get to see the neighborhoods. Yeah. You get a feel for what the valley's like. But I think for most people, it's just the thrill.
Yeah.
Of getting in a helicopter and flying over their own houses and looking. And,
right.
It feels completely different than riding in a plane.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume. Yeah. Do you both get to go up as well?
Oh, I don't
sometimes
want to.
The volunteers that do the evening,
yeah,
we need an extra body to balance out
The weight and all that.
Weight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then it's like, you want to ride?
Yeah, yeah.
It was awesome. The Girl Scouts last year. We had a lot of Girl Scout volunteers last year, and we have them this year too. They're going to show up. So
I hope they bring their jam again.
Yeah, they sold jam there.
Oh, nice.
And the Girl Scouts got to ride in, fill those positions in last year. They had a lot of fun.
All right. So we're talking about these light flights. And just so you know, you can go to coastalhelicopters.com/Christmas-lights-flights. And I think that's where – is that where you do the registration and all of
that's
that?
That's where you do the registration. Yeah. Yesterday at about this time, there were already 124 of the 300 or so tickets sold. And if you can just get to, if you can remember, coastalhelicopters.com, there's links there that'll take you spot you can register.
And it's
buttons.
Cheaper to do it online. You save like 10 bucks.
Right. Save 10 bucks. 50 bucks online, 60 at the door if you can get on.
I was going to say at this point with almost half of the seats gone and it's Tuesday and these are Friday, that it's best to probably register online. If you wait. Even you want to, you can give the extra 10 bucks when you show up, right?
If as a
donation.
A ticket
no,
left,
no, I'm saying as a donation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just to donate, right?
Yeah.
But if you really want to get on the helicopter, it's best to probably register in advance and do all that. So, Crystal, how do you all decide the charity that, does it change every year?
It was the Children's Tumor Foundation since the inception, because that's what it was created for. It was the owner of Coastal. I'm not sure of the whole story.
It was the owner of Coastal Helicopters. One of their kids had a tumor thing going on. And they've since grown up. And the new owners, the owners before this, decided to change it to Cancer Connection.
Yeah, Cancer Connection is a great organization. We've had them on the show many times.
Right.
And so these are Friday. And how many flights will there be?
Oh, I don't know how many flights. 650? 50.
50 flights?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. So, and it,
three helicopters, 50 flights.
Yeah, you said it's a pretty quick, it's probably a 10 or 15 minute ride
kind of
thing.
15 minutes.
15, 20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, 15.
Because you got to get up in the air and then drive around and then come back down. And,
right.
And it's probably enough to get a little rattle in your body as you're in the air. And the, like you said, the excitement and the endorphins running through your body.
People love it.
Such a cool thing.
Yeah, I don't mind getting on a helicopter, but other people just love it too much for me to get in their way.
Yeah,
and my wife won't get on it. We have a Grinch coming. We have a Santa Claus to be handing out candy canes to little kids. And we have the Girl Scouts are going to do our usual coloring area to keep little kids happy. But we've changed it and give people blocks of time this year. So you don't just show up and get in line and buy the tickets. You buy them online and they tell you, you pick when you can go. Some of the slots are filled already. And then you show up. You show up on time, get the safety lecture, and then take your airplane ride. So you can set it up to go with your whole family. Airplane, I said.
Helicopter.
Helicopter.
Yeah, yeah, for helicopter. Sure. Crystal's here to make sure we got it all.
Crystal, right.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about the Lions Club. Some people may, I mean, I know we've heard that name. It's been around forever. Usually, like, you know, when you're a younger person, usually you know it's like your parents are involved in it or something like that. But what is the Lions Club and what's the mission of the Lions Club?
Our number one mission is improving vision.
Okay.
We take people's glasses when they're done with them and we sort them. Actually, Mukia sorts them. I will give her full credit. And then they're packaged and sent somewhere where they're refurbished, fixed up, and sent to, I believe it's third world countries where you don't have optometrists and all the places to get your glasses. Our Lions Club focuses a lot on feeding people and the homeless, in addition to what we do for vision.
Oh, that's excellent.
Well, yeah, we're also in the schools to help at-risk kids that don't have enough money for stuff. And we work with their advocates in the schools and try and get them the stuff they need. We do that. We actually do a lot of stuff. Back to Crystal.
Yes.
That's great.
This year, we're helping to provide sneakers for gym, rain gear, and helping with what they call the backpack program.
Okay.
That different schools run where they put food items over for the weekend in a bag to send home with the kids because they don't get the meal programs on the weekends.
Oh.
And some of them don't have access to meals.
Right, right. That's so great. It sounds like it's a really, community-based organization helping out in a lot of different ways. And it is interesting. I've always wondered what I'm supposed to do with my old glasses. I guess I should be donating them.
You should be getting a hold of us, we will gladly find them a new home with someone that needs
them. Because I have a few of those. I always save them because it feels like a waste to throw them away. Or if you break the ones you have, you're going to go your old prescription or something like that. But if people are interested in learning about the Lions Club or how to become a member, because you're the membership director, what do they do?
What is our email?
LCI.com.
LCI.com.
Okay.
Lions Club International. They can go to Lions Club International. They can contact us.
Yeah.
Mendenhall Flying Lions. My phone number's on the site. That's why I'm the president. So
that's why we don't want to be president.
So people call me up and we talk to them, but they can see us at different events. They can see us at Gold Medal. They can come talk to people at Gold Medal about joining up.
Gotcha.
And we're still looking for sponsors for that if anyone is interested.
There you go. Right. I get it.
Hari's the
face and Crystal's the brains. That's what I'm getting.
Well, I think we got a lot of brains in our club. We do have a lot of brains.
That's
and
great.
I take the flack. I mean, I stand in front.
You're the face.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. That's great. That's so cool. And so that's the best way to do LCI.com if people are interested. And who can be a member of the Lions? Is there
anyone
prerequisite?
18.
18. Okay.
18 and not being pursued by the law. That's in the Constitution.
It's in there?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Should have told me that before.
No. I checked you out.
Okay.
She's lying.
That's so funny. So Light Flights is happening this Friday. It is from the Mendenhall Flying Lions, Lions Club, and it is a beneficiary fundraiser for both them and for Cancer Connection. And it's in partnership with Coastal Helicopters, and you can go to coastalhelicopters.com for more information. There's going to be banners on there to register. Registration, as we mentioned, started yesterday, and it's already like half full. So this is the time if you're interested. It sounds like Hari was saying you can get your family on the flight. How many people can fit in one helicopter?
Six.
Okay, so up to six people. So if you want a whole party, you can do that.
Right.
Or you'll share with some other folks maybe if you do it that way. So it sounds I've just never heard of this idea, but it sounds so cool. And for $50 or $60 if you go to the door, but you're going to do it before then because it's going to sell out before then. That's an amazing treat, really,
for
the family.
Knock it off your bucket list.
Right. That is so cool. And so where do people I know it'll be all on the website and when they register and stuff, it'll tell them where to go. But is it – do you go to Coastal Helicopters?
Go to the airport.
Okay.
You go to the airport terminal, and it's the first door that you come to.
Okay.
There'll be parking. We have airport park. The airport parking company is letting us use their lot. A Petromarine is providing us fuel, and it's where the Sea Plains of Alaska used to be, Ward Air used to be. I think Ward Air is still there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And you just go in that door, and you'll see us all there.
Oh, that's so cool.
By the bear. One of the bears.
Yeah. That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. Hari Dave Singh Khalsa and Crystal Johnson from the Lions Club telling us about light flights happening. You can see all the great holiday lights that are all over Juneau and the Valley and everything like that. And you're raising money at the same time. So that's really kind of a great deal. Nobody's getting rich off this. It's just a fundraiser.
No.
And, yeah. And making an exciting time for people around the holidays, which is so cool. Is there anything else we missed that we need to mention, or we got it?
Just that the Girl Scout jams that they make, the girls pick the berries themselves, they make the jam themselves, and it's really good jam.
So that means bring a little extra yes. Jack in your jeans to pay the Girl Scouts for jam.
Buy some of their jam. It's definitely worth it.
Oh, that is so cool. Well, Gunnath Cheese for coming in today. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Up next, we'll chat with parent teachers from the Juneau Community Charter School all about the program and how you can get involved. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO.
Step in to the savory moment. What's green smells like a sun-drenched Italian garden and grows well in every region of Alaska. It's basil. Wait, what? Okay, how about grows well on windowsills in every region of Alaska? While it is possible to grow basil outdoors in some parts of the state, a safe bet anywhere is to treat basil as a houseplant. Here's how. In spring or early summer, buy a packet of basil seeds. Add potting soil to a medium-sized pot or even a coffee can. Sprinkle lightly with seeds, about an eighth of a teaspoon per 12 square inches, and cover with a thin layer of soil. Place in front of a south-facing window and water regularly, using liquid fertilizer about once a week. Thin seedlings until you have 12 of the most vigorous specimens left in your pot. 6 to 8 weeks later, you can begin harvesting what is now a lush, fragrant spray of basil. Pluck leaves individually or in small sprigs, ensuring at least two-thirds remain on the plant. Properly tended, your basil will grow all summer and maybe even into the fall. Here's a way to cook with your trove of windowsill basil. Chop into ribbons and toss with caramelized Dungeness crab and fresh lime juice. Serve over linguine with grated Parmesan and a big pinch of red pepper flakes. Add a side of roasted zucchini and you've got summer on a platter. Find the full recipe for spicy crab linguine with lime and windowsill basil at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Juneau Community Charter School is a public, free charter school which offers small classes within a community utilizing innovative instructional methods, community access, and a project-based learning focus. It's a really cool program. And joining us now to talk about it are Clint Sullivan, who is a teacher at the school as well as a parent, Jessica Estes, who's a staff member and also a parent of another person we have in the studio, a student in fourth grade. It's Hazel Estes. Gunnath Tishat Ye Adi, Ha Wasa Iati. Welcome to you all. And how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Good.
You're good? Yeah, it's Tuesday. It's a nice day, right? It's a little rainy, though. Yeah, it's all good. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what Juneau Community Charter School is. It is a function of the Juneau School District, which maybe people don't know about. So, Clint, would you give us a rundown of kind of like what the charter school is, maybe like how it began or why it began, and then, you know, all the good stuff?
Yeah, I can tell you the little bit that I know. This is my first year.
Awesome.
I'm from Juneau, but I've spent the last 6 years with my family in a village up north, but we moved back last summer. So charter school was my first choice of where I wanted to work, so I was very happy to get in there. So how a charter works as a group of people can petition, put in a proposal to the school district to have a charter that operates outside the normal, it's still under the Juneau School District, but it has more freedom to operate in ways that aren't, I guess, traditional school district things. So we have, instead of being directly under the school board, we have an APC, which is a group of five parents that are elected by the other parents of school members. And they're kind of the ones who run the school. It doesn't mean in the big things, we still have to follow the laws and the Juneau School District and the school board, but we kind of operate under that charter. We put that proposal to the school district and they approve it for a certain amount of time. And then we operate. So like up north in Anchorage, there's all kinds of different charter schools in Alaska. One is a German base where they teach German half the day. There's all kinds of different, one is specifically Alaska Native where it focuses on Alaska Native values. These are both up in Anchorage. But so we applied for a charter. This is about, Jessica might know exactly, but 25, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they started this Juneau Community Charter School in Juneau.
Wow. So it's basically, like you said, it's under the school district. So it has to follow, it does follow like state laws, but there's more flexibility in how the schooling is done.
For example, if the Juneau School Board decided they wanted to use a specific curriculum for math, the Juneau Charter School would not have to use that curriculum. We could, but we could choose our own curriculum. There's freedoms there that some of the other neighborhood schools don't have some of the same freedoms.
I see. And you said that the five-member board basically that sort of runs the school, they kind of review what the policies are of the school district and then work with the parents and the community of the school to figure out, well, what do we want to do for this?
Yes,
yeah. And they can change things as they want to.
Yep. It's a 5 minutes called the APC and it's five parents. They have to be a parent of a student in the school to be a member.
Yeah. Okay. The APC. Yeah. So Jessica, tell us a little bit about how you discovered Juneau Charter School and is Hazel your student, as we know, because you share the same last name. So I'm assuming that Hazel didn't come here on her own.
She's
your oldest. Okay.
Yes.
So how did you decide to get involved with Juneau Community Charter School?
Well, as a parent of a kindergartner, I knew, I always knew with my kids that I was going to, I have three kids, and I would have them go to three different schools if that was going to be the best fit for them. Mm. And when it came time for her being in kindergarten, I went to all the different options and public schools, and charter school was what ended up fitting for us. I liked the idea that parents could be in the classroom and we actually volunteer 1 hour a week. And so we can be in the classroom, we can be bringing home things to help the teachers and cutting out something laminated or washing outdoor gear that we share. Is just we're part of it and we get to know the parents and the parents of the other kids, and we get to see the kids and know all the names. And that was a big part of why I chose the school and Hazel chose the school. She came to all of them with me.
Nice.
And it was definitely a family decision, and it's actually been a good fit for all three. My baby just started kindergarten this year.
Oh wow, congratulations.
And we're all in one place.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yes, Hazel?
I remember liking it because it was a big dollhouse.
Yes, the dollhouse.
Well, that when you're five, I'm sure that's a big feature, right? That'd be like, yeah, I want to go there. You mentioned, Jessica, that you went around to the various different options in Juneau and were looking at different things. The interesting thing that we do have to mention, that this doesn't cost anything different than putting your kid into the public school system that Juneau School District does. It's part of the school district, so there is no cost, right?
Correct.
Whereas some other private programs that may have a fee to that, that would be considered an alternative sort of schooling. But Did that factor into the decision at all? Was it something about, or was it, did you get to meet with parents and all that?
Absolutely. We were looking at the optional free public options for us.
Yeah.
And it just was the right fit for various reasons.
That's so great.
It still is.
Yeah. It's so great that it's part of that. So Hazel, let me ask you something. So you're in fourth grade now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been going there for, I don't know how to do math. This is the new math. You must have been there about 5 years then, because you started in kindergarten, right? You started in kindergarten?
Yeah, I started in kindergarten.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have to ask you, what's it like to have your siblings in school with you? Is that?
They mostly do their own thing.
Nice. But you're a good big sister, I'm assuming.
When I want to be.
Yes, that's
good. I have seen you paired up with a sibling on one of our field trips, and
no,
you did
that
well.
Nathan.
Oh, that was Nathan.
Oh, okay. See, gotta check yourself, Mom. Hazel, what kind of subjects do you do? What kind of stuff do you do at school?
We do social studies. We're doing something on the Revolutionary War, I think, Mom. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That one where America breaks through, I think.
That's the one.
Yeah. And in math, we are doing a fraction unit. We recently finished up a long division unit.
Oh, a long division unit and then a fraction unit as well. That's pretty great. What are your favorite subjects?
Oh, I like the whole thing.
You like the whole thing? That's so good to hear. That's so wonderful. It's fun to go to school. And the other thing that's interesting about this, Jessica, is that so you were a parent, and now you are a staff member there as well. So what do you do at the school now?
Oh, I work in the office as cashier and office assistant, and just recently as a paraeducator in the afternoons.
Oh, okay,
great. Part-time until a couple days ago.
Nice. You're full-time now. That's so great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And is it nice to, you said that the parents work there an hour a week. That must be part of the charter. So it's not like a full co-op necessarily, but it is something where the parents are pitching in. They want the parents. Part of the curriculum is to have the parents be there and be involved. Right, Clint?
Yes. It is strongly encouraged. We won't ask a student to leave, of course, if a parent can't do it. But parents are supposed to volunteer a minimum of 1 hour a week. And it doesn't have to be 1 hour every week. Some parents will come on a field trip. One thing that is really encouraged in the school is to try to get outside of the classroom as much as possible.
Oh, that's nice.
So, for example, the kindergarten first grade class, I'm the kindergarten first grade teacher. We try to go to the Diamond Park pool once a month in the valley. Mm. And so parents will drive, get in the water, and then drive back. And that could be a whole month because that takes about 3 or 4 hours
to
do that. So, you know, it doesn't have to be 1 hour, but on average, about 1 hour a week. And the parents have been great. I would say before the first day of school, I kind of estimated it. Before the students actually stepped foot in the classroom back in August, there was about 100 hours of volunteer hours put in by the parents before the first day of school. So that's a huge reason why I chose the school. Just the creative and the freedom as a teacher and for the students. But the second reason was just the term community really is highly valued. And the goal is that it's not just about the kids, but it's the parents. And we're all working together, collaborating to make the best educational experience for the kids as possible.
That is so great. I'm assuming, Jessica, that with three littles that you have, it's really nice to be, and now I guess you'll be there even more at turning full time. It must be nice that you know that they're there. And that you can see them and they're and you're able to do you get to interact with them throughout the day at all?
Yes, all the time. They flash little heart signs as they're walking past my office as a window.
Aww.
I hug her at lunch.
She hugs her at lunch. Yes.
Hazel, is it nice to have your mom around the school?
When she lets me hug her.
She surprised me today from a hug from behind.
Oh,
it didn't go well, but I think we've learned from that, yes.
You scared your mom a little bit.
One of you.
That's nice. So, and it's cool because your family's there, but you're also in school, and that's a really fun thing, I would assume. Yeah, that's really nice. And so if people are interested, Clint, how do they get involved? What's the best way to, you know, if people are like Jessica and you know, maybe they have a kid who's, you know, going to be starting school next year, or maybe they're in sort of the schools in the Juneau School District, but they're like, hey, I want to explore this option. What's the best thing for them to do?
And just contact the office of the Juneau Charter School, Juneau Community Charter School. And Jessica works in the office, so she would know better, but they will give tours of the school and answer questions if people have questions. I'll let Jessica.
Because
this is part of what she does.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Am I allowed to give phone numbers out
then? Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So our office phone number is 523-1679. And I can set, I can answer any questions and set up a tour. You can come in and see what our school's all about. We'll show you our area. And Hazel's tapping me. Yes.
I just wanted to tap you.
You just wanted to tap me. Oh, okay. But yeah, give me a call and we'll set something up.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And can people, are you able to, like, let's say they wanted to switch at the semester. Is that even something that people, can they transfer during the year? Is that possible?
It is possible, yes.
Yeah. And do things, I'm wondering, like, do the classes fill up? Like, do they have to register by a certain time? Is there a maximum density of students that you can take?
Yes. So the limit is 22 per class, 22 students per class. And that's another thing that people really like about the Juneau Community Charter School is the small class sizes.
Yeah.
So I teach kindergarten and first grade, and I have 15 students currently in my class.
Oh, wow.
Which is very small. If you talk to other schools around Juneau, 15 is an incredibly small.
Combined of kindergarten and first grade together?
Total.
Oh, wow.
And Hazel has 13.
Yeah.
13. Okay.
There
are classes are more full, so, and we don't have as many spots. But
you just have to call it. Yeah. Some grades are full, but there is also a lot of availability, and you can switch anytime. You don't have to wait till a semester. You can switch tomorrow if you wanted. It's just, and like we said, it's part of the Juneau School District. So you're just switching to a different school in the Juneau School District. It's still a public school.
Yeah.
It's not private. It's still under all the same normal things as a public school.
Yeah. So. That's so cool. Well, I really appreciate y'all coming in. Gunath Cheesh for coming in and telling us about it. And it's the Juneau Community Charter School. And you can go to jccs.junoschools.org. That's part of the Juneau School District's website, jccs.junoschools.org, or give Jessica a call at 563-1679. She'll set up a tour for you. 523. Excuse me. I wrote that number to 523-1679, and she can give you a tour of the school and set you up, figure out what grades are available and how to do the transfer paperwork. Or if you're new to Juneau and you're looking, you know, to figure out where your kids are going to just go to school, or if you got a little. You got somebody who's about to go into kindergarten, this is a great option.
And I would say, even if you're not sure about it, you can still come and just check it out. And it's fine if you decide not to. You know, there's a lot of good schools in Juneau. But if you're looking for what the Juneau Community Charter School has, then
that was big for me as a parent to physically go in and get a feel of each school. And as a parent, you'll know when you found the right one.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, Gunath Cheesh for coming in today. And it's Clint Sullivan, who's a teacher of kindergarten and first grade.
Yes.
And Jessica Estes and her daughter Hazel, who's here, and who is a wonderful student and ready to go home and or play in the rain or do something fun like that, right?
We read a book in my room.
Oh, there you go. Read a book in her room.
That's fun for her.
I love that. That's so great. Well, it's really a pleasure to have you all here. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you. It was great.
Absolutely. Bye. do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, Juno Community Foundation shares updates on the Feeding Juno Kids program, a profile of a local organization, Hatus Lachish, which focuses on a survivor-centered approach to preventing violence and promoting healing, and a preview of the latest public lecture from the Juno Audubon Society. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a fantastic Juno evening. Thank you.